cockroaches and still politicians and sect. The rank and file seek job the true light while we sing of the Lamb that walketh Elijah. And we count them down, prophecy fail no more. And they count them down, prophets of Baal, no more.
Okay, yes, we're back, broadcasting on Channel Z. This is Zeph Daniel, sometimes known as Z.E. Daniel. And not to be confused with Zeph Daniel from the UK, there is one there that I was brought to my attention, but just add the E. More or less, I like to go by Z.E. Daniel. It's just easier. But what I will tell you is that, you know, thank God for God, the I. There had to be a part two to the Word. Now, yesterday we had an hour and 21 minutes of really just a preaching word about the bondage of religion. And I call it beyond bondage. So many things have occurred since yesterday. So many things have flooded in since yesterday that we just really had to continue. Now, before we begin, let me just say this. That, you know, when I mention people that I disagree with, always understand that I don't, you know, disrespect them any more than I would disrespect anybody that is man. In other words, I think healthy disrespect of ourselves and one another, what we have to say, you know, a healthy scrutiny is always good. I know that many of these people are well-intentioned. Not all. But they're not ill-intentioned. And I hope I didn't leave you with that idea. It's just that the nature of the beast is, in the gathering and putting yourself up as a leader and the gathering of souls, what does one do with them? It can only go to infighting, gossip, and we've seen that over and over again. Or it can only go from being satisfied in Christ into the occult. If you're dabbling in the whole UFO culture and all that, I will be very happy to tell you about UFOs. My experience was with aliens, that what they would call, I guess, on Coast to Coast aliens. To me, they're just the same old, it's always been around, kind of boring yawn. I've been there, done that. What do you need to know? There isn't some secret disclosure coming. You know, there will be a time where Yahweh allows, let's just say, a part of his plan would be the reveal of this situation, but there's nothing new here. If the beings, you say, well, they're benevolent beings. Yes, there are beings and creatures who are good, and there are beings and creatures who are not. And I give you the Ezekiel's wheels. I give you the throne surrounded by various creatures, indicating that there are creatures other than that would be humanoid that be of God. Would you say that these people are soulless, these beings around the throne? You say, oh, they're servants. Well, it's true. You must push forward out of your religions and into the I. That means, you know, you, if Jesus is I, then you are I. So here you are saying, I am the I am. I am the I am. Now, occultists have done this, and they stay there. The mystery being, I am the I am, but I am not God the Creator, and yet I'm not separate from Him and His creating and the creation at all, yet an integral part of it. Yet I'm not absorbed into amorphous God as an absorption, yet I exist as a person, as He is a person. I exist, but I am only I in the I. This is a paradox to philosophers. So what they like to do is say, well, everything is God. We're all part of God. The only problem is human suffering continues unabated. If we're all part of God, the prayer would be, well, then I will. I am responsible for all this pain and suffering. And most people get to that point and they go, oops, and they don't want the job anymore. The New Agers may get to that point and say, oops, I don't want the... If we're responsible, you're responsible for your karma. You have your karma and it's all your fault. And unfortunately, that's the bane of Eastern religion. I have no idea, no earthly idea why that would be so attractive to Western kids back in the 60s and 70s, when in fact the yoke of karma being on your head is so much more oppressive than Christianity at the height of the church age, which now we're going to the age of what I call barbarism, which is kind of a good thing, actually. I don't need more steeples. I don't need more stained glass, do you? I don't need more, you know, I'd love to hear more music, but I don't need more forms that are, say, religious forms. And what I need in all this is to go to the I, and at the same time, what gets done there? Well, I do what I feel like doing, because I am in the I. Here's the beauty. So what about keeping it in check? I don't keep anything in check. Am I talking to you out of a sense of duty or because it's my desire to talk to you? He gives me a word today, and we pray that it will be a blessing to you. But it's my desire to be here at this amazing hour, in the wee hours before the dawn. It's my desire to be here, stripped away of everything. If everything is permissible for me, what is it? What would I really like to do? If there are no consequences to anything I would want? Answer, I can honestly say this. This is what I'm doing. I'm doing what I want. I really don't want the things of man. I don't need the world's applause for the creative things that I do. That was something I thought I wanted before. But really, when you finally stripped it all away, what about being good? What about being naughty? Are there naughty things you want to do? No. Not at this moment, anyway. I don't really care about tomorrow. I could care less about yesterday. So right at this moment, everything is permissible for me. Now, this is where we have to pick it up. Everything is permissible, but not all things are profitable. Okay, understand what our beloved Paul meant by that. And there are a lot of things that, you know, I take with a grain of salt. Some things I weigh more heavily than others in the Bible. I do not do what the evangelicals do and say every single word is equal in the King James Bible. It's a book at the end written by fallible people. It's inspired, but it is not the whole Word of God. The Word of God is God. Jah is Jah. Yah is Yah. Yahshua is I. I am I in Him, Him and me. The most important part of the, but what you can find in the Bible, what's so important about it is something like John 17, where you can actually know your relationship. If you want to know your relationship, you simply turn to John and go to chapter 17. And I know that you never get tired of hearing this, but obviously, where he went, you will go. What he does, you will do, and greater works than these, because you are like him. He is the I, so you have to be the I. I know you don't want to boast and say, well, I'm God. And he is, Jesus is God, but what he proclaimed before Abraham was, I am. I can make that same statement. I am. Before Abraham was, before even the worlds were formed, I am. Yet at the same time, I'm fully reliant on I am for provision, protection, etc., etc. When things aren't going so well, I'm crying out to him, but I am not separate from him. Otherwise, you see, I would be responsible for all the evil in the world. it would be all my fault. All the bad things and all the human suffering, if I am the I am God, Jah one, I am it, then I would have to say, well, what have I done? I really messed it up, kind of like Bruce Almighty or Evan Almighty. You see? So you see, the occultists can't really get to the point of proclaiming themselves God and then have any kind of joy in that. It becomes a burden. And that's, of course, I feel sorry for them. Their ignorance is stupefying. But there they sit in their ignorance, and they're too prideful to admit that they were wrong. All they have to do is play God for a day, and then you would know you're wrong. That you cannot affect change in others, and you certainly cannot change yourself without some outside agent working on you and your flesh. But that outside agent is an inside agent. I am in the kingdom right at the moment. I am in the eye right at the moment, and I'm in kingdom. What I see before me is nothing but paradise, and there is no suffering. That's because when I'm in that particular octave of being, when I am blessed like that, the Lord shows me how the kingdom is not just within us, but here. He shows me how all is fulfilled. Then he shows me how it's being fulfilled, is fulfilling, and shall fulfill. Into different states of being. You can see all those things. That can be done right now. It's marvelous. By putting yourself in the eye, you're in the zone for healing. The I am. When I pray to the I am, I'm not really praying to something out there. I'm praying to something within that I have. Because, my friends, and you know, most people really don't understand John 17, and most churches wouldn't ever really want to explain it to you, and they have good reason. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Once again, I in them, says Jesus, Yeshua, and thou, Yahweh, in me. I in them, and Yahweh in me, that they may be one. That's you, that's me, may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them. In other words, they see Christ in you, because he is one, God is one in you. You are one in God. There's no separation between you. You are the I am. And therefore, what you want to do is God's will. I know that sounds wild, like don't confuse it with do what thou wilt. I'm saying when you're lined up, when you understand this relationship, what you want and the desires of your heart are the will of God. And that's a radical statement. And what are the desires? And here's my proof. Well, the desires of one who is in this relationship would be, whatever the personal desires would be the I am desire. Or else, John 17 is a lie and we should discard it. Yes. So you probably, and eventually, this may take time to really have this relationship, but what I've noticed is over time that it gets more and more clear and the desires get more and more honed over time. For example, gossip. When you're in the I and in the I am and in you are having this love and you're filled with this love, your desires, of course, are the desires of the I am, because you are the I am. It's not separate from you out there. Oh, it's coming to me. It's being transmitted to me from the stars. Ah, and now I receive it, and now I go. No. I am. It's not being transmitted anywhere. It just is within me, and I am within it. So what the desire is cannot be, well, now human flesh is wicked. Human flesh, just raw flesh on the earth, wanting to kill and fornicate and fight off enemies and lie, cheat, and steal. But is this true of that which is in the IM? Well, it can be. You say, well, there was someone who was in the IM, and then they went off on their own, and they fell away for a season, and they sinned horribly. And then they said, whip me, beat me, make me write bad checks. And never again did that person ever operate with authority. He never forgave himself, and he whipped himself, and he never, therefore, the sin became the separation in his heart between him and God, which he kept there through his own self-flagellation and his own proclaiming his heart is wicked. He's a piece of dung. He's no good. Therefore, he has an excuse to not do the will of the I Am. And therefore, he does not serve God one more day in his life. You starting to get the idea that it's all internal. It's all internal. It has to do with you. You, there is no universe. It's just you. There is no multiplicity. There's just you. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Well, another statement made in John 17 is, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So, here we are in possession of being sanctified by the truth. Who does the sanctifying? The I Am. Who is the I Am? Well, let's say Jesus, Holy Ghost, you. So when you have God as a separate I Am out there, you're outside the will of God. When you do not take into account who you are in Christ, who Christ is in you, when you do not see the inextricable relationship between you and Jesus and Yahweh and one, then you operate as a you are and not an I am, and then you're outside the will, and you wonder, how come you're always suffering, and how come you're never quite getting it? I have no apology to make for anything said. I have no apology to make for mentioning certain people and their ministries or whatever they want to call them. I would sort of laugh at that idea of calling certain things ministries, but, you know, be it as it may. It was said, I have no apology for it, neither do I apologize for anything that I have said in the past. And that may be, and even things that may not have been completely accurate or completely to the point of awareness, enlightenment, knowledge, wisdom that there it is now. Maybe it wasn't such then. I have no apology because that is what I was made to be. That is where I was at the time. There's no separation. God intended for me to say those things and knew that I would say those things before I was even born. And furthermore, if my heart is with him, and if I need to change direction, it's called repentance, I needn't feel any more guilt than that. In other words, the guilt making me feel like I need a change. The guilt moving me in a little direction. Oh, this wasn't as good as possibly this. Oh, you could have done that. Maybe you could have been more helpful, etc., etc. That's helpful in making a change, but certainly not something that we are supposed to have. The whole purpose of, quote, salvation, unquote, which is the most misunderstood concept in the world today, the most misunderstood concept in the world today, salvation being just as much the awakening to the truth as anything else. The world has been consumed with the hell doctrine. That's why I really don't feel any need to discuss it. There are plenty of people that discuss it. Suffice to say that if you are the I Am and you want to play God, and there's no grace for your causes, you'll have the full effect of everything that you've chosen and everything that you've done. And boy, would that be something. But mostly what I do see about the world is that the what goes around comes around, karma, the law of cause and effect is really true. do unto others as you would have them do to you. It's really true. I've had a lot of people be very short with me who didn't want to be in a relationship with me. And I've gotten more out of their short, nasty little quips because they're very honest and very to the point than I get out of flowering praise or I get out of somebody who wants to politely have an argument. I've gotten more out of someone who's just straight up boom in your face as I have been with others more recently. You know, one or two sentence response to an email, non-personalized. And if they're in error, I just say, you know, that's, you're really just off on another planet somewhere. This is what it is. Thank you. Next. People do thank you for that kind of honesty. Maybe even the Lord speaks through you. But I don't have time to worry about whether the Lord speaks through me. Of course he does. Of course I am. If I'm giving out the word and I'm doing exactly what I please, and one said, well, the human, it's all wicked, it's all bad fruit. No, it's not bad fruit, it's good fruit. The world is not bad. The world is what it is. Once you're beyond questioning what the world is, then, you know, you can begin to get to a point of peace. Once you stop questioning yourself and God for this world and your mistakes in it, whip me, beat me, make me bad, oh boy. See, the greatest tool of evil is for you to go around like so many Christians and say, I'm a piece of shit, man. I'm just no good. But Jesus is good. Because what that does is prevents you from actually being a servant of God, prevents you from going forward and doing the things that you might do if you were feeling, you know, in love and understood that there's no separation between you. You, the I am, it's all one thing. We're one. We're not two. We're not three. The Word of God says we are one. Christ in us in Christ, Yahweh in us in Yahweh as one. And therefore, we create together this, that, or the other thing. We are not victims here. We do not sit here and neither do we take full responsibility and say, well, I created this wicked world. Because the real truth of it is, nothing is really ultimately wicked. Ultimately, everything is good because it comes from the I am. And because we are looking at it in process of the collision of opposites, good versus evil, light versus dark. And we put value judgments from our human flesh on it rather than seeing in spirit how all things are accomplished. And all is love and all is good. And we would not do anything other than that because we are the I am. He and you are I. I don't know, perhaps, you know, children understand this particular prayer. And, you know, the hour, you know, the purpose of the prayer, ultimately, to begin with, is for Christ to glorify himself. Say, he says, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Well, you see, you already have one. Well, he is the I, he is the Father, and he is the Son. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And so, therefore, what do we learn from that? Life being a gift. So many wanting to come into physical existence, because from physical existence comes eternal glorified life as a glorified being. One must come through the physical to get to that point. That's why the physical world exists, to glorify the what? I am. Is there anything else? No, there's only the I am. So what is this all about? Self-glorification of the I. What is that? Why is that good? Because it's glorification of the I. You see anything evil in that? But to get there, There are people suffering and dying and screaming and yelling. What about that? Just a bad dream. Just collision of opposites. Sorry. The idea that we must judge, well, of course they're going to hell. I rather like the way that Elijah dealt with the situation. And I like the way Enoch dealt with the fallen angels. But I like the way that Elijah dealt with the situation, which is simply, he is the great example of the eye in motion. There is no separation in killing the prophets of Baal or mocking them when they try to do their rituals. And he sets up his altar. And of course, his prayer is efficacious because he is not praying to something out there. It's within his power, within his grasp. He knows. Faith is really knowing. He knows who he is. So with faith, knowing who he is, obviously comes result, i.e. move that mountain, move the sea, rebuke the wind, cause the healing, raise the dead. No problemo for the I am. And that's what you are. Ultimately, though not as the occultist would be, God yourself or Evan Almighty. We have to let that remain a paradoxical mystery. That difference between you created and you eternal, because you've always been eternal. So there is no real beginning. People say, no, you began in the flesh. And well, to a certain extent, this is true. But on the other hand, all things were accomplished before they got started. So any being that would be eternal was already eternal from the get-go. Or else the whole concept of eternity would be moot, would be a conflict. Now, Christians hate when I talk like this. I mean, when I say Christians, I mean people who are dividing the word, teaching the word, teaching Bible prophecy, trying to time the rapture and all this stuff. Yeah, I want to get out of here too. There is no getting out of here. You must work with what you've got. Because see, on the other side of this delusion, on the other side of what I'm talking about, when you get to the full realization, you realize that you have, first of all, no enemies. You don't need to bomb the Muslims. You don't need to bomb the Hindus. If they persecute you, you don't need to hate them back. Because this is all, you are not separate from the I. And all this must be. There's an acceptance of things. And whatever you go through, it doesn't matter because ultimately you are eternal. Ultimately you are in kingdom. Ultimately there's nothing that can happen to you. Nothing that happens on earth really happens. It's a process. And it's not the ultimate, you know, end, because it's in time. Time is an illusion. Time is a limitation. Satanic is a limited way, using the limitation to get limited amounts of power. Now, you'd all agree with that. And, of course, the folly of that is it doesn't go anywhere. People get old, they become feeble, they die, they never see the glory because they sold that out. That's sad. And yes, you know, there is flesh out there that would say rebel. Of course, I believe it was meant to rebel. And there is God saying, I will hide from you and you won't find me. But really, I think that's just another moot point. I don't think, you know, that I think that's just used to threaten people, to put the fear of God in people. And the thing is, when you fear God, in the man-made sense of the word fear, God remains separate from you, and John 17 then becomes a joke. It's not fulfilled. So who's the real rebeller here? A rebellion would be anybody who fears God and does not consider themselves part of the I. That would be rebellion. You're keeping yourself as a separate being outside John 17, and that would be a great sin. Because you're not dying to self. You're not being born again. You know, you're not eternal. You are limited, and you're saying, I won't go with Satan, and I won't go with God. I'm a piece of junk, and I'm going to sit here until he comes. And I'm here to tell you, what are you waiting for? He's here. You already have the, if you say you believe in the Word, you say you believe the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. A lot of you fundamentalists, you say that. But then when it comes to scriptures like John 17, you suddenly give it a bypass. You have all these explanations and fudges. It comes to John 17. Many of you just ignore it. but it's about glorifying of the Son. And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. In other words, let the truth come through that the Father and Son were together before the world was, as the I, and so were you, and so am I. The time has come. The work is finished. As far as I'm concerned, the Great Commission is finished. Because becoming a Christian is not the answer. Waking up is the answer. And that is really what born again is. It is literally, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. That's the waking up part. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And here comes the kicker that people hate. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Yes, folks, didn't need you, but you were also in him from time eternal. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. There's another one they hate. So this is before the world was. In other words, before even the cosmos, even the sun, moon, and stars were here. And if this is true of Jesus, it's true of you. And this is another one. The evangelicals can't get around the argument. Whenever they can't face me, they can't argue with me because I'm standing on solid ground. I'm standing on the rock. They can't. They have to keep going back. We're bullshitting. We got a Baal Ahmadinejad. We began in the womb. That was it. Well, we couldn't have. According to this scripture, we could not have. It's appointed but once for a man to die. You mean for the suit, the monkey suit we're wearing. This flesh, you know, this time, this animal skin. Well, sure. Yeah. In this life, you're not going to die five times. That flesh dies once. In another life, it might die again. Another life, it might die again. You might have 50,000 different incarnations. They might all die. But it doesn't violate that it's appointed once in this life for man to die but once. And then this life ends. What if John the Baptist was a reincarnation of Elijah? Would it violate that scripture? Answer, no. This life ended wherever Elijah went. Well, he has to come back here. He owes a death. He's going to be one of them two witnesses. Oh, really? Okay, you got it all worked out. But when it doesn't go down like that, I guess you're just going to have to really sit there and go, I guess you're going to have to lose your faith. Because you only had faith, ultimately, in your understanding of what you perceived the scriptures to be telling you while you were staying separate from God and running away from him. And then you became a teacher of the Bible when you did not know God. Now, how's that possible? When you, with your own will, sinned and said, I am separate from God, I am nothing, I'm a piece of garbage, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, I'm still a piece of garbage. Rather than taking a little responsibility and giving a little credit where credit is due, you're created to do what you did. If you were convicted and had a change of direction, fine. But to keep trying and convicting yourself over that is the height of arrogance and satanic sin. Every bit as arrogant as a satanic ritual. And yet, across the board in Christendom, I hear the same testimony. It's like they can't ever get beyond amazing grace. Yes, grace. There's grace because you don't pay one-to-one for everything. But by and large, you know, what goes around comes around. There is not a bypass. If you murder, the grace of God is not like, well, now you're not going to do the, you know, there is reap what you sow. God is not mocked. God, being reality, is not mocked. You are the I. You're not going to mock yourself. You know then automatically, if you go do something that would break the law, you don't need man to give you a law. You don't need man to beat you over the head with the Ten Commandments. There may be hundreds of commandments that are just within your person that are awakened when you finally become aware and awake and know the not only the only true God, but that you are one as He is in Christ and Christ is in you and He is in you and you are in Christ as one. And when you realize that, you realize that everything you did in your life and all the things you count as mistakes and everything you thought was a scourge against you turned out to be a blessing and to be God's will ultimately, because nothing happens that is outside His will, period. You see, the church has a problem with reality. They don't want you to accept that, because once you get to this point, then you're ready for the glorification. Then you're ready for the transfiguration. Then you're ready to take on the next level. Then you're ready to go somewhere with Jah, Yahweh. Then Jah can take you. Then you are fit. At that point, many are called and you are chosen. At that point, you step into your ministry. However long it lasts until it's finished is already written. At that point, all around you are healings and amazing things happen. But you pay no notice because you are the eye. Not in the eye as a little part. You are the eye, but you're not God. So that full weight. And ultimately, does more realization after death mean eventually? Does glorification? No, glorification, Mr. Evangelical whatever, whatnot, Republican George Bush lover, does not mean when one is glorified that you're going to sit around in a boat called heaven playing ping pong and, oh, we're all gathered together. Isn't that great? Yep, we're all here. Yep, I made it. They didn't, but you did because you're really the bomb, baby. You're better. You? Who's you? What kind of a concept is that? Muslims have a similar concept. How is it different? They're going to go to heaven and have a bunch of women. You go to heaven, you get to sit around twiddling your thumbs. And maybe you'll have no sexual organs. Heaven. Where's that? Out there somewhere? Where is heaven? Where is the kingdom of God? Out here? Didn't Jesus tell you, don't look over here, don't look over there, it's within you? It's amazing that even that guy E.W. Bullinger couldn't handle that one. He had to write that it meant it's within us in our midst, in real time, in Jesus' time. That's what he meant, because the Son of God was around in the flesh. That's what he meant. He didn't mean that. He meant what he said. He meant the kingdom of God is within you, within each person. He didn't say, only if you believe in me, then the kingdom is within you. No, the kingdom's within you. Only you, the special few. He didn't say that. So the kingdom of God's within you. So many go low here, low there. They don't realize the kingdom of God's within them. That's the context. Within them. Who believe, who don't, who knows what they believe? Who cares? I'll believe in God. Most people that say that, they don't. They go out and they're very naughty. Yes, oh, I believe and I go to church and all that. And I got to tell you, the only place I've really seen the satanic perversions, I mean, really dangerously, you know, to the point where I almost bought the farm there because of their attacks, was in the church. That's where I saw the real perversions. Not amongst the Satanists. Now, whatever they do, they do. Yeah, they kill people. They do whatever. But where I really saw the really sicko perversion stuff was in the churches, the evangelical churches, and primarily in particular. One might say, what about the Catholic Church? No, the worst perversions I've seen personally were amongst evangelicals who were in the world system, and not only that, but just upholding it and loving it. Not even a clue who Jesus was, anything. Yet they were the pastors, the book writers, the teachers. They're at the Christian schools. They're your professors, seminarians, and heading up the seminary. In fact, I remember how odd it was sitting and listening to a guy practice his sermon while at the same time he's sitting there mocking people like us and laughing at us. I'm saying, what are you doing? How did these people get in this Well, they may think they have God, but they're totally deluded, and they're deluding their congregations. And yes, they would tell you with the mind control, you were born yesterday, you just fell off the turnip truck, you're full of sin, you're cursed, and listen to me. And you're always going to be a piece of shit, and only by Jesus, because Jesus out there somewhere has saved you, because he loves you so much, and so just remain a piece of shit, listen to me, this is the church, I'm at the head, and together we gather you, and don't you ever leave, we'll keep you gathered. If you ever try to get away, we'll call your house, we'll call your wife, we'll bring you in for counseling. And that's because the church is a failure. Because that man can never, ever just be alone with God with his desires as they are. Lord, here's what I am. I'm not even going to put a guilt on it right now. And I don't feel I need to repent. I don't feel I need to feel guilty. Because I've already given it to you. In a sense, I've already changed direction. So I've repented. I've come your way. So I accept your forgiveness. So I don't really feel a need to repent again and again and again. But so many people I know in the church Christian system, they keep screwing up again. It's like their desires are, yeah, I look at women every day. I have to avert my eyes. I'm like, you're still there on that level? You're still there? There's been no change. You just have to keep forcing your urges back. That's no life. That's not life abundant. That's not a miraculous life. In fact, that's not a changed life. Wasn't it Jesus that said, you're doing your lust in your mind. You're still doing it. So there's been no change, Mr. Leader, Mr. Ted Haggard, Mr. Whatever. So Christianity is a failure, absolutely across the board, proven without any shadow of a doubt. The religion of Christianity is a complete, utter failure, you know, with a few people go, I got to change life. Most of these people, they have the change life. They get into a world of pain as they continue to wake up and they have to make a decision. Either allow the people around them to conform them and beat them down into a cage and just be good so they can keep giving their testimony. I got off drugs. I was going to jail, but see now... And they keep doing that over and over, and they don't go anywhere. That's it. They keep because, and then if they do something wrong, it gets covered up. You know, because love covers a multitude of sins. Therefore, when they do their we cover it for them because that's real love. Yeah, and so all these people are like brain dead, spiritually dead, spiritual vapid idiots. Thinking they're saved, going around meeting at Caro's after their sermon and, you know, analyzing what the pastor's wife was wearing that day. And they go, this is real. Yeah, we're really on it now. You going to Bible study Wednesday night? Yeah, wouldn't miss it for the world. Cool. Cool, great. Isn't it great that I don't have to change? Isn't it great that I don't have to take any responsibility? Isn't it great that I can reject God and get a pat on the back by people that say I'm saved in Christ? You bet. I can reject God, not go to the eye, not go be open with my desires. I remember I told a guy, I said, yeah, I did this. You know, I told this pastor, he said, yeah, this, that. Yeah, I snorted coke, crank, lewds. And the minute I said something about drugs, his eyes glazed over like he didn't want to have anything to do with me. This was in the past, what I'm talking about. I'm just like, yeah, so what? So what? Acid, drunk, whatever. No. You see, you're not supposed to do that if you want the evangelical church to like you. You're not supposed to have, you're supposed to water that down a little bit and keep it vague and look the other way whenever it goes on. And even if you do it again, it's covered. No change. No life, no change, total misery, gossip, perverted sex. Runs unabated. And it doesn't run unabated outside that church situation. And so I can only conclude, ladies and gentlemen, beyond all shadow of a doubt, beyond all argument, because no one can argue with me on this. No one. And they don't. They just may snipe behind my back, but they can't come right to my face and say, Zeph, take it point by point, Mr. Pastor. You can't. Because it would mean the end of your little... fiefdom, the end of your little ego trip. And those of you who are getting on to what I'm saying, getting free, it's not because of me. It's because the Lord is, it's your time of awakening. Been written before the foundation of the world. Today, you are going to awaken. Today, you're going to get out of the religious mind control. Now, you may be a Hindu, and you can apply the same thing I'm saying here to Hinduism with all the rules. You may be a Buddhist. You can apply the same thing to Buddhism. Or a Jew. You can apply the same thing to your rabbis and your strict outward control and the admonition never to come to God. You could apply the same thing to the Catholic Church, where anyone that really had God and experience with God was to be, shall we say, questioned very strongly. I don't see really any difference between the Catholic religion. I mean, I understand that I have some Catholic friends, and I see that Mel Gibson is building a church out in Agoura Hills that is goes back to Vatican I, rejects Vatican II, but I think they reject the holy authority of the Pope or whatever. And, other friends who say that the only salvation is through the church because that's, you know, and that's scriptural. Upon this rock I will build my church. Not heaven and hell will come against it. And that is the formation of the Catholic Church. But the church definition, and I know that, you know, hey, look, you know what? You wake up whenever you feel like it. But let me tell you the definition of the church. It means the ecclesia. It means those who are called into the situation. It's a sacred, invisible situation. It's not a physical situation. I know we have all the churches, well, Laodicea and Sardis and all that in Revelation, how Jesus was saying, I got this against you. Basically, all he was saying is, you people are corrupt and satanic, and though there have been some good works. And hey, let me say, you know, if the church people would get out of their perversions of whip me, beat me, guilt, no forgiveness, and they never forgive one another either. It's like, you know, once they know about you sinning, you're just like shunned, you know, and then if it's covered, you can't ever mention that it happened. And of course, then perversion grows. Why are they the biggest perverts on earth? It's amazing. It's amazing. Why is there a less perversion among atheists? You know that it's interesting. I was just talking about islands. In the islands of Tahiti, before the French came and colonized it, sex was just like, it wasn't really, you know, looked at in the same way as the West, like, that means you're married, that you violated that woman. It's more like they have a different attitude. It's sort of like, you know, if someone feels desire for someone they have, it's more of, you know, just a sort of collective thing. I'm not advising anyone take that on. As people have tried going savage and with horrible results. Now, there's no way out of the situation. But they had all kinds of problems, of course, because man ultimately is going to want to have his home and have his women, and someone else has the woman. But there was this more of a loose attitude and, of course, getting in trouble with it. Then the missionaries came. But when the missionaries came and put a lockdown on all that stuff, then the real perversion began. That's when they kind of, that's when the whole industry of whoredom, pedophilia, all that came in with the church. That wasn't really going on. Isn't that interesting? Pedophilia is everywhere the church goes. And mainly, or homosexuality. The gay community goes, you know, they hate the church because they scream about, you're a homosexual, you're going to hell. Says they're right there. Mm-hmm. Says so right there, so that means it. Yeah, so what happens is the church covers it up. But let me tell you, gay community, people who happen to be gay or lesbian, let me just say one thing. I mean, I don't really think of you, anyone, as a sexual act. I think of people as people. But let me just tell you something. There are more homosexuals in the Christian church and where there are strict moral codes, where there are these strict rules given, than anywhere else including the gay and lesbian community. Can you understand that? There are more orgies of omnisexual nature going on in the where there's money in church combined, the same as you would see in Rome. I have testimony from people who were involved, and I'll just put it this way, the Newport Beach gang of Christians. Unbelievable orgies. Unbelievable. Yeah, they exist also among swingers, you know, and I grew up around swingers, and, you know, people would have their marriages, and they'd jump in the sack with each other, and it was normal because they were swingers. And they just proclaimed themselves to be living a swinging lifestyle. That was the norm, especially through the 60s and 50s and 60s. The swinging really came in. But it's growing out of the Judeo-Christian culture. You see what I mean? All these people had been baptized. All these people were churchgoers. Satanism, furthermore, and confirming Jesus' word in the book of Revelation. Furthermore, the whole libertine movement of the 1960s was the throwing off, was the backlash to the perversion of Christianity. And I'm not doubting that there's charity work that's gone on. Of course, it's usually quid pro quo. In other words, there's a price. Either let me get your dossier, let me make you sell out, I want you to conform before I give you the food, I need you to have a name and social security number so I can keep track of you, and then you can have something to wear and a bite to eat. That has been the outreach of the Christian church. In other words, they're working for the Babylonian queen system. When I say queen system, I mean Satanica, or the world system, is a matriarchy that remains hidden or occultic. You don't really see it, but it exists and is confirmed countless times in the Bible. That's why I like the Bible. Do I consider the Bible the absolute perfect? I don't consider anything man-made as perfect, but I have to say that of all the books, if understood in the proper context, I think the Bible is a very dangerous document, and I cherish it greatly. But no, I will not ever fall into the perverse fundamentalist camp or right-wing evangelical camp, because, like I said, what I've seen with my own two eyes makes Sodom and Gomorrah look light and makes regular Satanica, even heavy metal groups and death metal groups, look all like saints and they look like monks. And so the answer is it comes from the rule givers and the gossip and the social pressure and the peer pressure being so intense by the complete misinterpretation of Scripture and total lack of forgiveness and lack of love. And that comes through being very judgmental, rather condemning, and then letting them into the circle. You see, it's got to go somewhere. So when you put the outer clamp on it, eventually it's going to squeeze out through your fingers. See what I'm saying? And so thus you're going to have the pedophilia, the perversion, all that stuff's going to come out. Because there was never a change. But because they've got to put a face that Jesus really changed their lives, they have to be so good publicly that it's going to become, the perversion's going to come out somewhere else. It comes out in the form of satanic orgies, human sacrifices, pedophilia, mind control, ritual satanic abuse, trauma-based mind control, and the connection and tie-in with the powers that be and the secret satanic armies and structures of the world, the occultic matriarchy that rules the planet, and the servicing and serving of that system. Thank you. That is exactly how dangerous religion is. And most of the people that I've dealt, in fact, all the people I've dealt with who were ritually abused and had satanic ritual abuse, mind control issues, came out of the church. That's where it raged. That's where most of it goes on. Because outside, you know, it's you. The problem with outside is knowing God, and then outside is really the realm of the New Agers that are kind of do what thou wilt. Yes, ultimately do what thou wilt. I totally agree with that. It's not Aleister Crowley's statement. It comes from God himself. He'll give you the desires of your heart. But then Jeremiah says the human heart's deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? Well, I would say the uncircumcised heart in that case. That's my interpretation. You may have your own. Your mileage may vary. I really don't care. Look, I'm just not going to let one of these stupid mofos ever, with their ignorance and their complete lack of compassion and their total judgmentalness, condemn me, put me in a box, and get me to think a certain set of principles and give me a bunch of rules to keep me hedged in. I trust that God will keep you hedged in because I already know. I already knew what goes around comes around. Right there, I'm hedged in. I already proved that to myself and others scientifically. For if I go out and do a bunch of bad things, I know there'll be a backlash against me. I know this. I live my life by that. But it's based on conditioning. In other words, I know that if I go out and do a bad cause, if I go out and do harm to somebody through malice or just through perversion, you know, I just don't like them for no good reason. I just want to do something. I want to get power off of it. That's the satanic way. Eventually, they're going to pay. None of these Satanist collectivists who are in the queen system of Babylonian queen system of Satan, none of these people get away with it. It looks like they do for a time, but you can go back to 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and say, that's God giving them strong delusion. Yeah. So hell on earth comes if you have a bunch of bad causes. But somehow there needs to be a healing so that you don't want things like that. And that's the changed life when you are blessed by God. When you are blessed with an awakening and when you are changed by the Holy Spirit or by the Spirit of God. At that point, the desires begin to be the true desires of your heart. The true desires of my heart are just one thing, to be the I and love, peace, truth, good things, blessings for people, blessings for all that I see, interest in things that they do, fascination with God's, the way he's designed things, and going, oh my God, wonderful. Yes, and being all a part of it. Yeah, oh yeah, that's the desire of my heart, my deep heart, always has been, and I think most people it is. What occludes that desire and is another desire that takes place when man gives laws and rules, and when he harps on the law and puts people to death because and everyone tries to be good, that's when the new set of perversions come in, and then someone goes, well, my heart's wicked because it wants to hurt people, do this and get power and money and law, cheating, there, whatever. That's not the normal state. That's the state of this curse that is the world system. That system is basically only conquerable through Christ because of the grace factor and because the world is taken off one's shoulders and one is forgiven. And even like a good cause, a bad cause, whatever's happened, then at that point it's dead and it doesn't matter. It was God's will anyway. And so a person is then set free. Yes. In other words, there is your definition of freedom. A person is then set free. You see, at that point, a person is set free and free indeed. And the changed life would indicate that when you stand naked before God, the desires of your heart, whatever you want to do what thou wilt, is doing the I, because you're in the I. There's no separation. The churches must make sure that you are separate from God so that you do not do that will, so that do what thou wilt would be a no-no, and do what we want and peer pressure and all that would replace it, thus bringing about this tremendous need to cover all this crap up, including criminality and all the vices going on, covered by the system that wants to put the best face on things. So the system is ignorant, churches are ignorant, and the religious systems of the world are ignorant. The world is perverted, they are perverted, and they want those perversions to continue generation after generation because they serve Satan or the beast, all of them. And that's the bottom line. Then you leave the church or, you know, whatever, Christendom, let's say that's your culture. You leave that, you go out there and you find all the libertines with their, quote, New Ageism, which is putting another face on Luciferianism, which is basically even more peer pressure because it's love and light, do what you want, and, you know, play with each other and have sex, whatnot. Okay, fine, you know, if you're hung up on that, you'll do that more. And you get that from being too religious. Yeah, true word. I ain't lying to you. Wouldn't lie to you. No need to lie at this stage of my life. No need to lie. No need to sell you on a crock of shit. Just telling it like it is. Anyway, yeah, which is love and light on top. And on the bottom, it's Adolf Hitler. Okay? The other side of the coin is Adolf Hitler. Just like the church on top, you've got all this goody two-shoes crap going on. And underneath, you've got the largest amount of not just, when I say homosexual, I don't want to denigrate people who are gay that have integrity. And they happen to have, I mean, I may not agree with the lifestyle. But let me just say this. You know, for every cause, there's an effect, okay? So people have to work it out themselves. I don't feel like condemning anyone in these lifestyles. But I just want them to know that they're competition-wise, they lose. But see, when sex becomes perverted, it's when it's done in the closet. And then, of course, they're going to bring the children. The largest amount of pedophiles, all that goes on in the church. That's where it all comes from. All the porno and all that stuff comes from reaction from all that. Because our society is uptight, backwards, and Judeo-Christian. It's not Yahweh's fault. It is man who wants to set himself up as the rule giver and block people from getting to God in the first place, because if they could go there, they'd realize that do what you want. Technically, for that person that is, understands John 17, is not at all perverse and wicked and all that, because we already know. It's already integrated in our heart that what goes around comes around. We already know this. So how does one become clean and washed, which I see the only way you can tell that is when you are naked before God and the desires of your heart are made known. What is the state of your desire, of what you want? I've told people that have trouble with porno, all of them coming out of the Christian situation, never really saw people in trouble that way who came out of the other side. It's weird, isn't it? But with them, I've had to advise them to give it to the Lord. They say they can't stop their addictive behavior with the internet and with the pornographic images. And my friend, you wouldn't have a problem like that if it weren't heightened with guilt and shame to an unbelievable point, making it so attractive that you practically come just thinking about it. That's totally weird. But it could only be born out of something like a really intense rule situation where you're really clamped down and suppressed, and then it gives real big power to perversions like that. You know, obsessions where you can't get away. Now, all that can be taken from you and just wiped right off the board by not just the grace of God, but the immersion by the becoming of the I Am, which is the death. The way you go there is no one's seen God at any time. I like to say this. So go there and let him kill you. If you look at the Shekinah, you'll be dead. Good, let him kill me. And then, you know, because nothing. See, what you learn there is that there is no separation between God and you. The kingdom is not out there. And where is the kingdom? That's where God is. So if God tells you that the kingdom's within you, he's saying God's within you. He didn't say just to these five believers. He said, God's within you. Get on with it. Who are you? Wake up. Then you realize. Now, what about the sacrifice of Jesus? And this is where we have to finally kind of wind up today. What about the sacrifice of Jesus? Doesn't it count? Well, of course it counts. But if a tree falls in the forest, did it fall? Did it not fall? Jesus said, tell everybody, you know, the good news. Tell them what I've done. Feed my lambs. And that's what's happening today. That's exactly what's happening today. I'm looking at this whole issue of sacrifice. I think it's too big of an issue to get into today. But this whole idea that people would sacrifice animals and and crops and, you know, have all these rituals to appease the gods. You know, I mean, it's an old tradition. And of course, with Yahweh, it was no exception. They would sacrifice to Yahweh. You remember the story of Cain and Abel. God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice and not with Cain's. And so Cain slew Abel, and that's the world system today. That which is pleasing to God, that which comes to God, is killed. You look at it metaphorically and go, yeah, Abel went to God and God killed him through Cain. And started the ball rolling. Which is called the ball rolling? Pain and suffering? No, it's called the glorification of God through the collision or unification of opposites. Of course, that's stepping a little bit outside of time. But if you can look at it that way, then you won't blame God so much like the churches do, or like people who claim to be Christian. So many of them blame God privately and praise him publicly. But they complain that God will not give them, you know, a Mercedes Benz because their friends all drive Porsches and they must make amends. Yeah. Oh, Lord. And literally, they see people like Joyce Myers making $100 million a year off these idiot Christians. I mean, you've got to admit, that's pretty good. You have to have a lot of dupes to do that. But she's not the only one. Magicians do it all the time in Vegas. Same thing. Where are they going with Joyce? Well, Joyce is not going to let him out. She's not going to let him go to God. She's going to be like, well, look how great my life is. Look how great and all these people, and I tell you all these stories, but you're not really living up to it, so you better show up here every week and buy all my books, and maybe then eventually you'll find the Holy Grail. Maybe you'll get it one day. You never will with her. The whole point is for you never to get to God, so that you'll pay her instead of God. That's the whole point. You're never going to measure up. You're never going to be as good as Joyce. And that's just the way it is. Or any big time pastor. It's the same thing. Wake up. Christianity is mind control. It is satanic ritual abuse. It is Satanism. It is absolute evil when man is the rule giver and law giver. That's where the real perversions come from. The desires. Yeah, I get the impression that most Christians are like being held, that like if you let them up for 1 second, they're going to go off and fornicate and they're going to go kill and eat and do all these things. It's like, wow, didn't you ever get clean with your desire? Weren't you ever washed clean? You could be free. Didn't anyone ever free you? You're never free. Well, I'm free in my secret circles of shame, but then they harness the power and they harvest. Oh, well, according to your interpretation of the Bible, that means you're twice dead and going to hell. How do you like that? All your efforts with Bible study don't mean anything because you're part of that system. And Jesus says right here, you know, you're going to hell. But you keep it covered and somehow you think God's going to make an exception for you. Now, I don't really have that same doctrine. So I don't really, you know, I'm not really led to preach any doctrine on that. I'm preaching about the here and now. You're breathing now. You need to know something now. Because, you know, the people that are not hung up on sex and not hung up on all this stuff, they don't sin very much. People that really just walk in the eye, they don't sin much at all. And if they do, they say, hey, I'm sorry, and, you know, pray about it. And then, of course, they don't carry the guilt around. They don't carry guilt. They're free of that. They don't want to go molest anybody. They don't want to have illicit sex with people. That's all those things go. Because God is so big, it's not that you're being good. It's that it doesn't exist. It's not relevant. It's not really in your consciousness. That's the setting free. And so if you're not getting there, if you're not having that kind of liberation from sin, then truly you've gotten nowhere. You're spinning in circles, and your time has all been wasted, and you become a pervert on top of it because of them, because of your obedience, because of your conformity. Can I make it any more clear? Can I make it any more clear? You understand why there was a backlash against the Catholic Church and then a backlash against the Protestant Church because of this issue, which is a spiritual one, We are not to do the work of God. We are not to do the job God does. We are to come to Him as we are. And we can do that through Christ by praying, Jesus, save us. Jesus, help us. Jesus, bring us in. Jesus, bring me in. Jesus, I want to be free. You will set us free. Jesus, set me free. Jesus, thank you for your word. Abide in your word and set me free. Jesus, I don't know what I believe. Show me. Well, my son, most people just say they believe any old thing to be a member. 99% of them don't believe. They say they believe, but they don't. Yeah, because it's like a prerequisite to come up and confess your faith before men, and you'll be saved. Confess your faith. Most people that get up there at those things don't believe anything. They're hoping to have faith. They want it to work out. So they raise their hand and go to the altar call. And then they learn how to hide their perversions, which were more public. You know, like when I told the pastor some of my sin life, he couldn't handle it. Though he has far more shit going on and continues in all this stuff. Why is that? Because you're supposed to learn to cover all that or confess to a part of it. Now, how does that Ted Haggard? Ted Haggard is, by the way, not symbolic necessarily. He is typical of all the pastors I met. He's typical. He is the norm pastor. Absolutely the norm. The system breeds that kind of thing. And the only advice I have to pastors is leave your churches, leave your system. Seek the Lord and get reoriented. Maybe you'll do something else besides preach. But my advice to you is to leave. There is no such thing as reform in your church. Your church is the church of Satan, and you're going down, and every day gets worse. Leave. You're not doing the people there any service by staying. You know, make an exit. Tell them why you're leaving. Because you start preaching the truth, or let one of us in to preach the truth, the first thing that happens is that you'd be run out of town faster than you can say holy. Amen? Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we saw that. I mean, we saw it back in the days of the, you know, I had some great education with this whole Lamb Cafe thing we did. And I saw the legalists, and I've never really encountered that and I realized, my God, some of these people, when they've confessed to me privately about their sin lives, I was like, oh my God, that's really some twisted shit, man. That's, you know, how'd you get, it's because they were raised in these Christian, and they go around because they are so guilty about their own sins and the desires, you know, whether it be for homosexual sex or whatever it is. It's usually sexual. It's so weird. It's just so odd. It's so bizarre. But, you know, shame, guilt, sex, all that kind of goes together. Mind, the mental thing, Satanism, all that, power, you know. So, you know, how'd you get like that? Well, so what they do is the legalists. This is the legalist mind. Here's, you know, people that are really legalists. That deep down they have these desires that they don't, you know, they're really perverted. I mean, really twisted. And so therefore they, in shoving those down, they then, because they're so horrified by themselves, they go and attack or criticize or do browbeating with the words that you're not living up to this. Here's this. You violated that scripture. They become those kind of people, like the Lisa Rubies of the world. I bet you, there is something like that going on there. Someone that, you know, but I mean, she's just one person I know, but there were hundreds and hundreds that I met. But that's a person that writes about me publicly, so I would just say, God, you know, be interesting to interview her kids. If anyone ever would break and come clean, I'll bet you would hear a lot. And of course, that would maybe heal them. You know, I feel sorry that people are there with their rules. But usually it's because of these perversions in them that they're trying to, you know, suppress, and they go browbeating other people. It comes from perversion within. And, you know, I've never seen an exception to that. It's about time to come clean. And like I said, porno, greatest, you know, consumers of porno happen to be people in the churches and people in the Christian system. And I believe it's just because they have these rules. There's no forgiveness, no self-forgiveness. They never really take it. They never come to God because they're blocked from God. Ultimately, they can pray to a distant God out there, but they're never in the eye. And it's never, they never just let it all hang out. Like, here it is, God. I want this. I want that. I got, Satan's telling me I really should get a sex change operation, or I should, you know, I should really, this, I'm really that. I need this. I need that. This is forbidden. That's forbidden. But when you finally come clean and come all the way to Him, when you finally get to that point of finally getting through all of it and just letting it all go and go, here I am. At least then, you know, and that's something you're going to have to do alone because people can't handle it. I can take it. No, they can't. They'll just use it against you. It's just human nature. God is, it's just like this. First of all, ultimately, you know, you're not a piece of garbage. Like, who would say that? You're a piece of garbage. Unless they wanted to control you and turn you into a pervert. That would be the only reason they would do that. And I think if you checked out the credit card statements of a lot of these people who are real didactic, real legalistic, I think you're going to see some things that would surprise you. And I think maybe, you know, that's just kept in check. So if they do get too big, somebody can bring those credit card statements out. Yeah, I don't really, you know, thank God when you really do this right, who cares? They can bring out any kind of statement they want. He did this. Yep. Wrote a perverse novel, all kinds of, yep. Let it all hang out, yep. Did this kind of music, yep. Your soul must be stained. You need, right, no. God doesn't tell me my soul is stained. I think He's got a little more credibility than you, Mr. Rulemaker, Mr. Lawgiver. You want to play God, and you can't ever live up to it. So it's perversion you teach. In other words, you allow the satanic rituals in your churches. You allow all that to go on. You cover it all up because it's all part of the system. People become more and more perverted. You know, one guy that's onto you people, but he's coming from a secular thing. I think he had a religious background, was Larry Flint. He always loves to bring people down who are all these like righteous people and then find that dark closet and get that credit card statement. He's one of those guys that does that. And I got to hand it to him. Amen. Thank God somebody's got to do it. Someone has to prove to you people beyond any shadow of a doubt that the way of perversion is not the way you want to go. There's God and then there's the church. One's perverse and one's real. You're going to have to make a choice. Sorry. And for those of you who say you've been going to church, you're blessed and this and that, before you make a blanket statement, you will see one day everything I'm talking about. Or you email me and you're lying to me and you're just covering it up because you yourself are mind controlled. You're just like a sycophant of the satanic system. You're just like one of the Nazi soldiers. What do you know? Why should anyone listen to you at all? Well, because you memorize the Bible and you can browbeat people with it. That all that means is you're a pervert deep down. You're projecting onto other people the darkness in your own soul, the things you would do. I don't have to listen to you, and I certainly, absolutely, beyond any, I don't, you know, whether I quote scripture or I don't, it really doesn't matter. I do it because of love. The truth because of love. And let people write me off as a heretic. I love it. I love all of it. And I don't condemn people. My prayer is this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of I am, invade, infect, show yourself, touch all these people and all the people that would condemn us. Touch them all. Let them all know of your goodness. Let them guide, make a path for all of them to come to your throne within themselves. To find the answer within themselves. Give them the power not to be insecure, frightened, disobedient little children listening to their elders and then sneaking around the back Let them grow up. And let them come clean. And that's my prayer for those who condemn. That's it. Let them come clean. Let them come clean. That's the only way to actually get over the addictions and perversions anyway. It's an act of God. And then you check the desires and it's like, yeah, some desires are, you know, pride rears up and then you want to attack. Yep, that's happening. All I can say is, yep, that's there. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to cover it up. So be it. Let it all be out there. And people who are all out there, they don't happen to be usually the perverted bunch. It's when it's covered up and too nice of a package on the front and a lot of legalism and then, you know, a lot of like this and that, and then that's it. But that is really, unfortunately, what I've seen, and that's the report I give to the Father. I give it unabashedly. Let it be truth, because it is truth. And with that, I just bid you shalom, and I'll see you next time. And may you just have that experience. Open up your heart. Examine all your desires. Let it all be there. He loves you. It's love. It's all about love. The I is love only. That's the only force there is, love. It's one love. One I am, nothing else. Get right with that and you watch. Everything falls away. The mind control, everything falls away. And there are no enemies. When I talk like this, maybe the churches or the people that feel threatened want to attack me, but I'm not enemies with them. I'm telling them this for their own good. I don't want to see them suffer anymore and be kept in cages like they are now. I like to see that them get free. They talk about they want freedom in Christ. Well, something's got to be knocked down. They've got to be motivated. They have to be confronted. But I don't judge them. I've been there myself in that mind control cage. Some of my earlier writings reflect that. I'm not going to take those writings out. I don't apologize. It's been a spiritual walk, straight from one and the other. Let it all be there. Don't apologize. I don't feel guilty. I don't feel like we need to go cover that up because now we really have it. No. You've all gone through similar thing, similar path. I don't like the way of perversion because it is a way of shame and guilt and Satanism. The churches will make you feel guilty for every day of your life. No. You are forgiven and there's no need for guilt. You're beautiful. There's no need to call yourself ugly and all that whole excuse. I'm so weird. I'm so weird. All that is an excuse for you to go out and do more sin, more evil. Then you come going, oh, I don't deserve it, but I... That's a loser's proposition, that attitude. Because it means you're giving yourself justification for even more perversion, more sin, more rules in your life. You've got to get beyond it. You think the I am gives itself rules? Well, the word or the rule. No, there are no rules. It's do what he wants. Do what I want. The I am does. There's no need of rules. So you're going to be there. Because why? Because you just automatically want the things. It's just not sin. It's just not sin. It just goes away. We're going to have sin all our lives. Yeah. The people that get on this whole legalistic thing, they're going to be perverts all their lives. And they're going to stay away from God all their lives. And they're going to whip themselves, beat themselves, or get some whore to do it. Then they're going to go around, point the finger at gays and lesbians and this and that and say, look at that pervert. When they themselves would, if their book were opened, the people would actually gawk in utter amazement. Just is what it is. Religion, bad, God, good. All right? God wins, religion loses. And with that, I'll see you next time. Shout.